The sermon this evening is Psalm 1. Please join me there. Some consider Psalm 1 to be an introduction to the entire Psalter. As we look at it here, it seems to be describing the covenant of works. We can even imagine Adam having been given Psalm 1. That Adam was told, as long as you obey me perfectly, you will have life. But it was also described to him, the day that you break this covenant, you will surely die. It seems strange for us to be singing about the covenant of works and for us to be reflecting on the covenant of works as we come to Psalm 1. But some have rightly said that the covenant of works is still in effect. That if anyone actually does accomplish life perfectly, they do inherit eternal life. Well, the sense in which the covenant of life or the covenant of works is still in effect is that Christ accomplished the covenant of works. Christ did what Adam could not or would not. Christ lived that full and perfect, faithful life. And in him, there is that great blessing. You and I are the fruit of Christ. We are his children. We are growing up as a part of the church, as we would live and as we would love and as we would follow him. So here's Psalm 1 now, and consider it in the light of the covenant of works and Christ fulfilling the covenant of works. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Pray with me. Father, help us as we come now and as we look at your Son, Jesus Christ, and the footsteps that he has established and that you have made into a way. Help us as we examine ourselves, prepare to join with you and to meet with you and to be blessed by you this coming Sabbath. Please shine your light into our hearts that we will understand your holiness better and therefore understand our sinfulness better. That we will put off our sinfulness, and that we will rejoice in you, and that we will prepare ourselves appropriately to come to your table, that we would not eat and drink judgment on ourselves, but that we would come rightly, trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, and repenting, putting off our sins. Please help us to these ends this evening. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The statement, "How blessed is the man, how blessed is the man," I feel utterly inadequate tonight as we are coming together. The best that I can do is lead you on a little walk and a little trail. And as we walk along a trail together, maybe I can do what Christ has done for me. As we consider, if we were to think of Psalm 23, and maybe I could lead you in paths of righteousness a bit. Maybe I could lead you by quiet waters. Maybe I could bring you to places of refreshment for your soul. And I will do this evening simply by pointing to Jesus. How blessed is the man? As I've focused on this and reflected on this week, the phrase has kept coming to mind, Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever. Amen. This blessing that Jesus has from having been perfect, this blessing that he has from laying down his life for you and for me, which is our access to him. It is the foundation of our relationship with him. It is the blessing that we have forever because he is blessed forever. Because he has loved the Father perfectly, and he has loved his neighbor perfectly, he has loved us perfectly, and it brings us together into that unity in which we are able to love because we have first been loved. Now we come to this beautiful place, but this beautiful place also comes with a great weight as we understand what it means to live in a mighty household or in a great household. It is said that there are big shoes to fill as we would come along and we would try to walk together following Christ Jesus. So the call for you tonight is for you to examine your steps in the light of Christ. We'll be looking at the ways that Christ has walked and see that that is our calling as well. As the Father has said, be holy as I am holy. Now that is a great weight until we understand, or even as we understand, that we have Christ's Spirit within us that enables us to love our Father, that enables us to love one another, and it enables us to follow Christ in his footsteps. So we are examining ourselves in the light of Christ, and our first step is check your joy in the Lord. Verse 1, I will retranslate that slightly, rather than how blessed is the man, to so blessed is the man. So blessed is Christ. Christ is blessed forever and ever. He is blessed within himself, within his relationship with his heavenly Father. Some of us have had the blessing of enjoying relationships with a heavenly Father. Some of us have enjoyed the blessing of relationships with an earthly Father, either our biological father or spiritual fathers that we have received within the midst of the church. And there is that great place in which a father looks at you and smiles and says, I'm proud of you, son. Or I'm proud of you, honey. I'm proud of what you have done. I'm proud of who you are. There's a beautiful warmth in such a moment. And we look at Christ and we see that Christ enjoyed such a moment, and the Father did it public for him. He says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The blessedness and the blessed nature of that relationship between the Father and the Son was evident in such a moment. Now, I'm focusing on this blessedness, and let's fall back to what we had considered in the Beatitudes, that blessedness, there's a happiness attached to it, but it's a happiness within the midst of a relationship. This scriptural blessedness, it's a happiness knowing that the Father is pleased with us. It's a happiness knowing that he looks on us and his face shines upon us, that he is gracious to us, and that he gives us peace in the midst of our relationship with him, and that that is a foundation and it is a framework for the rest of our lives. That when the shadow of death is coming upon us, we still have a blessedness and we have a peace. When there's strife and conflict in the midst of our house and with our closest neighbors, there is still the opportunity and there still is a peace in the midst of that. When our whole world is falling apart and all the plans that we have made or wish we had made are escaping us, there's still a happiness, a blessedness in our relationship with our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in relationship with him. Now, relationships look like things, don't they? If I am a good father, my relationship with my children is going to look a particular way. There's going to be good and warm interactions between me and my children. There will be discipline that looks like correcting them lovingly and not exasperating them. If there's a husband and wife and if they have a good relationship, that is going to look like particular things. Well, the way that this psalm is laid out, it continues down these steps. And we have this one who is blessed. And then the relationship is described. And the relationship is beautiful. So as we are in Christ Jesus and we have a relationship with the Father, There is the expectation then that as this describes Jesus Christ, it will also describe us. Because he has made his footsteps into a way. And we are using this Psalm 1 for us to examine ourselves as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. So that first step was to check your joy in the Lord. To see if there is a foundation there, a peace that surpasses understanding. A place where we are happy in Christ Jesus and happy because of our relationship with the Father. Our second step is to check your influences. Again, verse 1. So blessed is the man, and now we see his life, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. We're looking at the influences of the man's life. What directs him? What changes him? What changes his course? What changes his steps? What affects him? We can think of our lives in the moments where we've had outbursts of anger or something has influenced us and it has caused us to sin. What are those things that influence us to cause us to have outbursts of anger or those things that influence us to move into sin? Well, here we see that this one who is so blessed, he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He is not pulled off sides or he is not pushed off the path of righteousness because of the ways that he is being influenced by the unjust or being influenced by those who do not love Christ. He is on a path. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing. And fools hate knowledge. Now, these who are in this place, and I invite you to look at the idea that we all scoff at righteousness. We all think small of it. We all reject it. We all make fun of it whenever we're not doing it. Any of our sin is specifically that. It is being a scoffer. It is mocking at righteousness. It is mocking the truth. Again, Proverbs 1, 22 through 23. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? It would be if we are not growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing. And fools hate knowledge. Then we're given this instruction. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. So we look at ourselves and we have this light shining that's showing us that we do listen to scoffers. We do listen to the wicked. We are pushed offside. And we ask ourselves, why? Why? What is causing us to step off sides? Now, for some of us, and in some of our situations, there is a wickedness that we are permitting into our lives. There are elements that we bring in or that we invite or things that we haven't put off. We can think of it as a baggage that's heavy on one side and will cause us to stumble off of a trail. Things that we can let go of or drop. Things that we are to put off. Some of us, we may look at our lives and realize those things that I'm imagining that are causing me to sin are things that I actually can't put off. I can't throw my parents away. I can't throw my spouse away. I can't throw my kids away. I can't throw my church away. I can't imagine that these are things that I'm able to put off. And so the examination goes beyond the earthly influences then, and then comes to the matter of our heart that we must examine. And for this, let's step to our third step, which is check your seriousness. Again, verse 1. So blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. As we consider what we had just seen in Proverbs 1, 22 and 23, scoffers delighting themselves in scoffing, fools hating knowledge, refusing to turn to reproof. We see ourselves in this light, and that there is a weight to the word. There is to be a weight and a seriousness to reality. Again, we are scoffing at the word whenever we are sinning. This past week, my boss from my part-time job, he showed me a picture, and it was, I hate to describe it too far, but it was actually a bit blasphemous. And at first, I laughed, and then I started thinking about it a bit more heavily, and then later he asked me, "Was that blasphemous?" And I said, "Yes, it was." And at first I laughed because I thought of it this way. And then the more I thought about it, the more weight it had and the worse I felt about it. And then he informed me 2 days later, "It's really been bothering me that I showed you that blasphemous picture." It's right for us to feel the weight of our sin. It's right for us to see that there is a great seriousness to our sin. To understand that sin does have things happen because you sin. There's a weight to it. There's an echo to it that keeps sounding and sounding and sounding. There was a time when I was a young man and I was trying to change my oil in my parents' garage. And I had pulled my car up onto ramps in the garage, and I forgot to put the parking brake on. And I closed the door, and then I looked over, and the car rolled down off of the ramp, banged into the garage, and bent the garage door out, but it was a bit springy. And it sprung it back, and it went back up on the ramp. And then it rolled back down the ramp and banged into the door again, and I cringed, and it sprung, and backed up again, and I cringed, and it came down again, and it just kept banging, and banging, and banging, and banging into it. Are sins like that? The effects keep going. We can't imagine that the effects were just in a moment, and this is why there is a weight to it. And when we look at our lives, there is to be a seriousness to our lives. At one point I asked my dad if I was a happy child, and he said, "Oh yeah, just as happy as if you had good sense. Just as happy as a lark." And this idea of being just as happy as if you had good sense, it has that brings to me that mind in the Proverbs, not the Proverbs, but in Ecclesiastes, "With great learning comes great sorrow." The other side of that is ignorance is bliss. That the more we know, oftentimes there's a great burden and a weight. When we see our sin and we know our sin, we come to the place where we would cease scoffing, that we would listen to the word, and that we would be serious about our faith and serious about the ways that we love our Lord and follow Him. Our next step, number 4, is check your delight. Look to see where your happiness really is. Please consider the ways we handle our prayer meetings, for example. When we start off and we say, "What is a highlight from your week?" In our family worship at home, we will do the same thing in the evening. What was the highlight of your day? Well, we see that Christ's highlight and the highlight of the righteous man in verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night." Now, it would almost be ridiculous if we were at next prayer meeting and as we went around, "What was the highlight of your week?" And every single one of us said, "Reading my Bible. Was my delight. I meditated on it day and night." How righteous we would look in such a moment, right? But as we look, where is, how close is it How close is it to the center of your heart? How close is it to actually being a highlight, being a joy? As we look at the world, we see and we know that the word is truth. That was one of Christ's statements when he's praying to the Father. He says, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As we would love the truth, that is to love the kingdom and the reality of the kingdom as it would do its work and Christ would do his work in our hearts and in our lives. We would love the word as it's described as a light to us, as it shines in the darkness of our hearts as a light to us as we decide, as we walk through a dark world, where we put our foot down, where we step, where we go, what is being accomplished. Christ loved the reality. Christ loved the truth. And we would also delight ourselves in God's law because it's what he is saying to us. Some of you may have noticed I seem to be starting to lose my hearing. And it should be a sad thing. I confess there are times where I ask someone what they said, and if they mumble a second time, I just kind of shrug and think, I guess they really didn't care if I heard them or not. A kind of giving up. I mentioned that to Leslie, and she said, oh, I hope you don't do that. I hope you don't give up. I hope you don't quit trying to hear me. And I could see that there was a sadness to her in that. If I would stop trying to hear her. And that would be tragic if I just decided to go ahead in the midst of a marriage that has the potential to be beautiful and amazing in Christ, and I gave up. If I decided I just didn't need to hear my spouse anymore. Do you live that way with Christ? He is actively speaking. To what degree are we just giving up and not delighting in what he is saying to us? There's a place that we are to be where we're eager to listen to Christ, eager to sit at his feet, because we love him, because he tells us the truth, because his word is a light. Our next step, number 5, is gauge your growth. Verse 3. This one who is so blessed, he will be like a tree, firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. Gauging your growth. What could you look at to gauge your growth? Someone had once described us as being fruit inspectors, or the necessity of inspecting our own fruit. With that in mind, we would look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23. And you would ask yourself, am I growing in my love? Am I growing in my joy? Am I growing in my peace? Am I growing in my patience? Am I growing in my kindness? Am I growing in my goodness? Am I growing in my faithfulness? Am I growing in my gentleness? Am I growing in my self-control? Each one of us, you know, we're really not into checklists, right? But maybe we could be. Maybe this would be an appropriate place for a checklist for us to look at as individuals. To look and to see and to examine our own fruit. To see if we are delighting in the Lord. Psalm 37, verses 4 through 6 makes this statement. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. This is a place where we want to be. A place that we want to be in Christ Jesus. I've seen people who are eager to look like a family member that they respect or love. I picked up a TFY student at the seminary 1 year, and I knew the other students, but I didn't know one in particular. But when I saw her, I knew her name just because she wasn't the other ones. And when I called her by name, her face lit up and she asked, "Is it because I look like my sister?" And I had to say, "No. No, it's just because you're the only one I didn't know." But she knows that her sister is a godly, beautiful woman. And she wanted to be recognized that way. I look like my sister. I am like my sister. Well, as we look at this psalm, we look and we see Christ, who is blessed forever, who is beautiful. The expectation and the hope for us is we want to look like Him. We want it to be when we meet with one another or where we meet new people that they would say, "There's something about you." And we would want it to be something about our love, something about our joy, something about our peace, our patience, our goodness, our gentleness, our faithfulness. We would want it to be our self-control. We want to look like Jesus. We want to be like Him who is blessed forever. And it is putting us in this beautiful place of blessing. And that is our sixth step, which is really the summary and the pulling it all together. To pursue the blessings of the Lord. And we would look at our lives and see that we have great opportunity. We even have great hope. An encouragement that He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion in Christ Jesus. There is that calling that we had already read from 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, my brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. We see that beautiful place that we are in verse 5. In contrast, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, but we understand we will come through the judgment. The wicked, the sinner, will not stand in the assembly of the righteous, but you and I are in that blessed place that through Christ Jesus we have been brought here to stand in the assembly of the righteous, that is, in the assembly of Christ. So now we've got the job to do, to grade our own papers. To have our own checklist. To look and see and know that Christ has accomplished righteousness. It has been described what a relationship with our Heavenly Father looks like as Christ has had and does have this relationship. And as Christ's footsteps have been made into a way for you and I to follow. Seek this blessedness. This joy in Christ Jesus, in your relationship with your Father. Examine your steps in the light of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that all righteousness has already been accomplished on our behalf. Thank you for giving us your one and only Son, who lived a full life of righteousness, a full life of loving you and loving us. Thank you that he gave up his life to bring us to you. Thank you for this door. Thank you for this light. Thank you for this perfect love. Now help us as we would put off our selfishness and our sin, as we would be putting off the old man, as we prepare ourselves to meet with you and to have our supper with you this Sabbath. Thank you for inviting us. Thank you for calling us. Thank you again for giving us your Son. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.